The key of knowledge. You know, what a fantastic subject. We're going to pick this up in the great book of Luke, and it's the opposite of the Beatitudes, okay? It's the woes as Christ was giving them to guess who? Well, he'll identify them here in a moment. And that's part of the main key of knowledge. Without that key of knowledge, you're really in bad shape, because the knowledge is the truth. And the truth helps you understand who you are, who the enemy is, and who you're serving. That's to say, Almighty God. And that is your choice and your prerogative to follow Him. So, as Christ was talking to this group, He was releasing these woes, and it's the equivalent of that is written in Matthew chapter 23. But I choose to do it here in this 11th chapter of Luke. Let's pick it up with the 49th verse. You're all familiar with it? Fine. Therefore also said the wisdom of God. Who's talking here? The Word of God, which is to say the wisdom of God. I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. Naturally, the wisdom of God knew that was going to happen from coming out the gate. Why? Because the controversy is between Satan and our Father. And Satan's going to try you, especially God's election, every time he has an opportunity. Guess who gives him that opportunity? You do. Okay. You give him the opportunity to slip into your family, your home, or your life if you're not careful. If you have the knowledge of God, you've got the power and the authority in the name of Christ to order him out. Can-do type people. So you don't put up with that kind of stuff, okay? You don't have time for it. Life is too short and you're too precious in the kingdom of God to allow Satan to nibble at you. It just doesn't happen, okay? Verse 50, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundations of the world may be required on this generation. This word generation translates offspring. Offspring of what? Well, he called them serpents, offspring of serpents. Who is the serpent? The devil. Okay. As you well know from Revelation chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, that's one of Satan's names. Okay. Now let's identify them. Verse 51. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Again, translate offspring. Now, stop and think a moment. You're given an identifier there as to who we're talking about. Let me ask you a question. Who slew Abel? Well, let me think a moment. Well, naturally it was Cain. And who are Cain's offspring? Kenites. That's a Hebrew word that simply means the children of Cain. Okay. If you got a Strong's Concordance, it's in your Hebrew dictionary at 7017. Okay. It's real easy to spot, and Christ doesn't hide anything from you when you have the key of knowledge, when you investigate. So that's who he's talking about. He knew that this would happen coming out the gate. But the thing is, he forearms you, whereby you can take care of that situation if, here's the qualifier, if you have that key of knowledge. Okay. Verse 52, listen carefully. Woe unto you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hindered. You tried to foil them. You tried to forbade them. So, you see, now, you know, a lot of people say, well, how did they do that? Hey, get your head out of the sand. Many of you might wonder why we changed publications not too long ago in Dr. Strong's work. It would seem the company that we had depended on hired a new scribe. And the new scribe did a lot of changing. Changing to the point that we called the company and said, what are you doing? And what are you trying to change Dr. Strong's work? Well, we have a scholar that's far better scholar than Dr. Strong. And Dennis happened to be making the call. He said, well, why in the world didn't you tell him to make his own book and leave Dr. Strong's alone? So we have quit handling that publication. It hurt them dearly because we deal out thousands of them. But, hey, you want to waltz with Satan, don't try to waltz with us. Okay, but don't think they're not trying to change the Word, trying to change the knowledge. And many of your new Bible translations, it's the same deal. Okay, they change words. And unfortunately for the English reader, Dr. Strong happens to be one of the few people that gives the English reader that's not educated in Aramaic, Hebrew, and Greek the opportunity to check out the manuscripts. Which is, what would you lose if you lost that? You'd have to take man's word for it. Do you like to take man's word for something? I don't. I want God's word, and I want that key of knowledge, and I don't want somebody messing with it. And we will not allow someone to mess with it. So I assure you, the Dr. Strong's concordance that we carry is quite authentic, and it'll stay that way. So don't again, they are trying to change. And is it any marvel? Turn your television on. They're trying to take the name of God out of our vocabulary, out of even law practices. As far as I know, what do you want to swear on? You know, they swear on the Word of God. So that's where the key to wisdom comes from. And you must be wise enough to not let the enemy come into your own house, God's house, and try to alter things and change things. We will be very vigilant in how things are changed, and we will, as to our ability, keep that record straight, or we'll print them ourselves. Okay, no problem. Can-do type people. Why? Because God is with us. He blesses us. So then continuing on in verse 53, and as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things. Do you know why they were doing this? Do you remember back in verse 2 of Matthew 23 what was said there? The scribes and the Pharisees sit in the seat of Moses. Well, what was Moses? Moses was the lawgiver. They try to change the law of God. And some people wonder why God didn't bless them. You follow that ilk, and you follow false teachings, don't expect God to bless you. He will not. Follow the key that has the knowledge which opens the very gates to the kingdom of heaven, ultimately. And do you know something? That isn't future in a sense. So many of those powers go with you today. That knowledge will prevent many hardships if you pay attention and if you follow his steps. 54 to complete. Laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. They were always like that. You know, here he was performing many miracles, healing people, teaching wonderful truths. They wanted to kill him. What kind of religious community is that? They're still around, friend. Well, who was that from Cain through who slew Abel all the way down to a priest between the porch and the altar? Okay, makes that they have no conscience. And they're still very real, only very subtle. You got to have that knowledge to spot, to know, and to recognize, and to steer your ship well clear, that's to say your life, well clear of deceivers. For the very first warning God gave Christ through Christ, his elect, as is written in Mark 13, see that man doesn't deceive you, for many will come in my name. That means claiming to be Christian preachers. And they will deceive you. So pay attention. Well, how can I tell the difference? It's so easy. It's in the Word. The Word is the knowledge. Listen to the Word. It's all right to listen to man, but document him in this Word or shuck him. That's an old farmer's term that means get rid of it, okay? You don't need it. Life is just wonderful. If you let other people handle the junk and you stay with the truth, life's a pretty good old life, and you'll be blessed of Almighty God. That's just the way it is, okay? Okay, we're going to go to the book of Matthew. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. The key of knowledge was given to us in many places in God's Word, and sometimes people have a little trouble with it, which is difficult to understand why. You remember they had fed the multitudes. Christ had performed a miracle. This was part of the good works that he had done. He fed 5,000. And they're walking away, if you would, afterwards proceeding to another location. We pick it up in chapter 16. Let's pick it up with verse 6. What is his warning here? Then Jesus said unto them, this is Matthew chapter 16, verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed. That means you be careful and beware, be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now, you know what leaven is? That's yeast. You're making dough up. You put in just a little bit and it'll go through the whole loaf. You let some Pharisee, hypocrite, come in and put a little lie into the dough, and that lie will go through the whole church if you're not careful. Nip it in the bud. Don't tolerate it. Okay. That's what Christ is talking about here. They think now, well, he's on our case because we didn't bring bread. He's not talking about bread. Okay. Verse 7. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Verse 8. Which, when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason you among yourselves because you have brought no bread? In other words, where's that key of wisdom that I've placed in the group of you? 9. Do ye not yet understand, neither remember, the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Of course, it was 12 baskets, one for each of the tribe of Israel. In other words, there's enough truth and knowledge to go around if you'll dig for it, if you'll partake of it, left over after feeding the multitude. Verse 10, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up. You took up 7, which is spiritual completeness. Verse 11, how is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Verse 12, do you know what they understood then? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You must always be on guard of false doctrine. That's what Christ is telling you here. In other words, when you have a bunch like 5,000 or 7,000, and you, isn't it wonderful to have a meeting like this of so many Christians, and you get all these little tidbits and information, nonsense, a lot of it. You've always got a bunch of nuts looking for squirrels looking for nuts around a place like that, okay? And you've got to let that wisdom sharpen you up, because. And never be taken down Primrose Lane by a bunch of fruitcakes. Okay, a lot of people say, well, why do you call people names? Because they're fruitcakes. Okay, that's the reason you call names, all right? It gets the point across. I'm a communicator. Okay, how well they like to say, well, you must listen to this. And it's nowhere in God's Word. Why would I want to listen to it? If it's given forth in a liturgical sense, forget it. Okay, been there, done that, in whatever language you might want to put it in. And a little late in the day for nonsense. Watch what you hear. Document it in the Word of God. That's the key of knowledge. And beloved, listen to me. That key of knowledge will open many doors for you in this life today. That's why it's so very, very important. Verse 12. Then understood they... we got that. 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Question. And they said, "Well, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias," which is to say Elijah, "and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." They don't know. They're guessing. Okay. And he said to them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Question. 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, you see, many might say, "Well, why would he say this following the doctrine statement?" You've got to know who the true Christ is. We've got a big if coming up. Who's the real Christ? Okay. Is it the Antichrist? Is he the true thing? A lot of people are taught he's coming to rapture you away. He's the first one on the scene. And they're going to jump right in his wagon. They're geared for it. Why? Who put it in their minds? Well, I'll give you one guess. Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou." He didn't even call him by his name, Peter, here. He calls him Simon, that means the hearing, and Barjona, which means son of the dove. Anytime the dove is present, the Holy Spirit is present, so to speak, all right, biblically speaking. "For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven, through the Holy Spirit he led him. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That's what the key of knowledge will do for you. The gates of hell cannot prevail. They cannot come against you. Well, wonder why that is. Well, it's really quite simple. In the 10th chapter of the great book of Luke, Christ, in the 19th verse, Christ gave you power over all of your enemies. Do you ever use it, or do you just let it lay there? Okay. It's yours to use. Verse 19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." That is to say, when you teach the truth and you have the knowledge of truth, if you teach the difference in the Messiahs, and if you teach what the unforgivable sin is, it'll stand on earth, it will also stand in heaven. That is for one of God's election to give, not allow the Holy Spirit to speak through them when they're delivered up before the Antichrist. That's one of the things. But anything in that key of knowledge that opens a treasure that is written in this word, this word is not going to change. Mark 13 will document that. Times will change, but God's word never changes. This word will not change just because we're changing dispensations of time. It stays, so stick with it. What God forgives now, he will forgive in heaven. And what God disallows now, he will also disallow in heaven. You want to be sure that you forgive others, that God can forgive you. Because you have the key of knowledge. You're kind of, you know, you're mature. You're an adult, where many people in spirituality are little babes. So you can afford to be generous in that light because you have that key of knowledge. And but by the grace of God, there go I. Okay. So you can thank the Father for that. That he leads, that he guides, that he directs, that he gives you that knowledge. Well, but really, again, what knowledge and who does he give this key to? He makes it very clear in the 13th chapter of this same book. Matthew 13. If you don't understand the parable of the tares, which is what he was talking about earlier, those that murdered Abel, and also Zacharias between the porch and the altar, you're in a heap of hurt. Okay. You're just not with it. And Jesus was a teacher of simplicity. And he taught the parable of the tares, which you're all familiar with. In other words, tares in the Greek tongue is the one. It's a plant that looks exactly like wheat. When they're growing, you can hardly tell them apart. But when they produce fruit, wheat is a rich golden grain that we use for food. But zawan, or tares, is bitter, black, and poisonous. And this is the way the Kenites are. You can't. Most people can't tell the difference. A spiritually discerner can, okay? Especially if they're not, if they haven't been converted. You can spot, you can feel it if they walk in the room, okay? Spiritual discernment. But he goes on to drive that point home. If you expect to have the keys, you have to know this. Okay? It's imperative. Chapter 13, the great book of Matthew, where he's explaining that parable about the tares, how that you want to leave them alone because you can't tell the difference between tares and wheat, and you're going to do more damage trying to take them out of the way. You leave them alone and God and the angels will take care of that slack, okay? Verse 37, he answered and said unto them, when they couldn't understand it, he's going to explain it. He's not speaking in a parable now. He that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man, that is to say, the Father himself through the Son. 38, the field is the world, make no mistake about it, this dispensation of time. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. That's Ephah Adam as he came forth and others. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Well, I wonder who the wicked one was. Come on, get with it. He tells you, 39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. You do not reap. The angels will take care of it. Okay, at the end of the millennium, it will happen. Not before, not at the start of the millennium. Verse 40, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. So where it's going, if they deserve that, that's what they get. Those that follow them, they deserve that, that's what they get. And who is that fire? God is a consuming fire. He simply blots them out. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. No room for them there. That's why it's important that you have that key of knowledge and that you act upon it. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Too late, Charlie. You know, by the end of the millennium, if you haven't got it, you're never going to get it. So good riddance. All right. Many might say, well, what a thing for you to say. No. Do you want to spend another eternity with them? I don't think you is right. 43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. If you have ears to hear that knowledge, that wisdom of God, then open them and listen and know how to close your ears, to, not close them, but understand when you hear from the other side. Okay, you're in a war and you have to have spiritual discernment. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. In other words, that's the most valuable thing in the world, is truth, is knowledge, that carries you into the eternity with many riches. 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. It was God's truth is that precious. I want you to know that's how much it should mean to you, is to know that the knowledge of God delivers. And the Kenites are going to rob you every time they get a chance. They're going to strip you clean. That's their M.O., because whose MO is it? Satan's, of course. Do you know how Satan approaches you? You are so intelligent. And what he's saying to him to himself, I'm going to set up this dumb bunny. Okay, boy, am I going to set up this dumb bunny. And Satan does it. You know, people like for Satan to brag on them and then sell them down the river. Okay. Verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, whomsoever will, which when it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered then the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. 49, so shall it be at the end of the world. You want to know how it's going to be? So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. And they're going to do it. Who's going to do that? The angels. Christ is bringing an army with him, and they're very efficient. Some of them are your relatives that have passed away. You know how anxious they were for the fight. They're ready. Okay. Verse 50. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. Then shall be wailing. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Why? They didn't make it. And there's no hope after this point. 51. Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? Understanding is a beautiful thing. He makes it so clear, so simple, that a child can understand. If you listen to him instead of the traditions of churches and man. Okay. They said unto him, yea, Lord, we got it now. You see, back in 36, they didn't understand. Now they say they've got it. Wonder how many really did, okay? Listen carefully. 52. And then said he unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven, that's to say, every disciple, every pupil, every Christian that is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Now, I want you to get this. What is a householder? He's got the key. Okay. He's got the key to the storehouse. And he brings out what is good and what is bad. That's the key of knowledge. And Christ does not make a householder until one, when we're speaking spiritual here, understand. Until one has been instructed in the ways of the kingdom, then he is given that key, not to take place some other, but now. The key that opens both the Old Testament and the New Testament into the truths that can be laid out before you with clarity and understanding in the simplicity of what happened in the garden, how the enemy has prevailed in many cases, and how you can defeat him, how you can stand against him. It's that simple, and that is the key and the knowledge that will prevent you from being deceived in these end times. That is the key of David. It is the keys to the kingdom. It is the key of knowledge. It's a beautiful thing when you're instructed into the kingdom. That's the royal dominion of our Heavenly Father. And you can participate in that. That's why you're such a blessing to someone that really needs help in truth. Because you're loaded with it. You can share it. You can help. You can assist. It's like a healer, spiritually speaking. That's why God trusts you with that key. That you can open that. The main treasure. Well, what's that main treasure? You just had all kinds of examples. It's the most precious thing in the world. And he gives you the key. He trusts you to be a householder. That's head of the house. Okay. That's in charge. In charge of what? Truth. Knowledge. And I must insist, a scripture just pops into my mind that I should bring out at this point. It's Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. What is the beginning of knowledge? Verse 7 reads, the beginning of knowledge is to, it says fear, but that word in the Hebrew is revere or fear, according to which way you put it, is to revere Almighty God. Why? Because all knowledge comes from Him. Boy, you can have knowledge of the world. I mean, man, you can make it out there in the world if you have the knowledge of the world. And you should have some street smarts, okay? It's very helpful. But your real knowledge should be in the Word with your Father, whereby you know how to handle the street, whereby you know how to operate in Satan's own ground. Okay. There's no rose gardens for Christians. Many might say, well, I just wanted to walk in the footsteps of Christ and have it easy. They crucified him. He didn't have it easy, and he did it for you. So always take that truth and know. But always remember, he'll never put more on you than you can cut, because you're can-do type people. Fear is a terrible thing. And I declare to you, if you have the key of knowledge, it's impossible for fear to grip you. Okay? Because you know who's watching over. You know who has given you that key. And you know how to prevail. You know how to take care of business. And God takes care of business for you. What a beautiful lesson in the knowledge of God. And who it is that God actually gives the key to. I'm going to read that as we leave this chapter again. Therefore, every scribe, that's to say disciple. A disciple is one that disciplines themselves. Our word discipline comes from disciple, okay? Or vice versa. In what? In instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, has the key, okay? Which bringeth forth out of his treasure things old, new and old. In other words, he controls that door. And it's so important in your life to have that key. It is the key of knowledge. No one can deceive you if you stick with this word. And you know the beauty of it. Let's go one more place in closing. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, let's nail this home as to what, if you have that tree of knowledge, you're going to teach, you're going to believe, you're going to follow. Naturally, I'm going to read concerning one of the seven churches. There was only two that Christ was happy with. You better be in a church that believes as Smyrna and Philadelphia does. You know, a wise person knows coming out the gate, I'm in a heap of trouble if my church doesn't teach what is taught by Smyrna and Philadelphia. So I want to go to the church of Philadelphia. That's brotherly love in the English tongue. Verse 6 of chapter 3, the great book of Revelation. What is it again that Revelation means? It means to reveal or to make known. Well, let's make it known, okay? There's nothing hidden about it. Verse 6, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, what Spirit's that? The Holy Spirit, of course, saith unto the churches. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, brotherly love, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. Well, now, what's that key? The heritage, your heritage, okay, through which the true Christ would come, not the fake. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. You've got a key of truth that no one can slam the door in your face as far as the knowledge of God is concerned. This is so important, beloved. And nobody can open a bunch of trash or a garbage can to you and try to present it to you as first-hand stuff. It won't fly. Garbage smells like garbage, however you dress it up. Okay, and so does false teaching. It's all written, and you either follow it, or you might be following man instead of our Heavenly Father, okay? In other words, you can open it, and no man can shut it, or shut it, and no man can open it. That is to say, to deceive your mind or those around you. Verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. That's truth. And no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. What caused this? Keeping God's word, not man's word. And hast not denied my name. You didn't fall off in the apostasy to a false Christ. You kept Yeshua Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Okay, the Anointed One, our Savior. You were not deceived. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. This is our enemy. Which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. In other words, you're at the feet of Christ, and naturally every knee bows on the first day of the millennium, even the Eudas. Okay, that claim to be and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Well, then who is that? Kenites, of course, sons of Cain, claiming to be our brother Judah. And they are not. Okay. That's what God says. I want you to have that key. I want you to know it. It makes all the difference. Verse 10. Because thou, this is your reward. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, you waited for me. You didn't jump in the sack with the Antichrist. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. You're not going to find him tempting. You're going to find him to be an abomination, which shall come. You escape the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, not part of it, all of it, to try them that dwell upon the earth. You know, there comes a testing time. How well have you done your homework? Do you have the key of knowledge that prevents you falling into traps, deception, to be misled, to follow somebody that you just detest, actually, but he passes himself off as your Savior? Do you know the difference? That's what the key of David and the key of knowledge and the key to the kingdom is all about, my friend, is knowing the difference. Well, how do I know? All the way back, he gives you all the way back to Abel. All you got to do is follow it through the Word. It's written. Verse 11, behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Don't let somebody take the Word of God away from you. Do you know what the reward of it is? Listen. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Do you know what a pillar is? It helps hold it up. What a responsibility. What a place. I want you to be part of that pillar today, though. You don't have to wait for it. Uphold the truth. And let it hold that truth up at all costs. Patiently waiting for the true Christ. Holding that truth and waiting, you can never imagine the beauty of the payment thereof that you receive in His love. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear. You want to always sharpen up when you see and hear that terminology. You got ears to hear? Then you have the key to knowledge, because you can hear the truth. Now, you know, we've covered quite a bit of ground that has to do with the center, the precious stones in that truth that prevent you from being deceived. You know, Christ came to this earth, as it is written in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, to be crucified, because he was perfect, we're not. Okay. To pay that price whereby, as it is written in the 14th verse, that he may destroy the devil, which is to say death. It's a war, my friend. And the conspiracy works every day, right before your eyes. You want to keep your eyes open, especially in this generation, the generation of the fig tree. Because in and to, all prophecies will be completed in this generation. It is written, and it shall come to pass so. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the keys of wisdom, Father, the keys of knowledge. Father, we ask that you be a blessing to this congregation and all connected thereto around the world, Father. We thank you for that. In the precious name of Yeshua Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Amen.